All right, I'm going to pick up where I left off a couple weeks ago. I've been doing a message called Closing the Gap, and the premise of the message has been closing the gap between what we know God's Word says and what we're actually experiencing in life. Because I think it can be really discouraging for people when they see these wonderful promises and they see all these... There's so many of God's promises that are like... super abundantly above types of things. And then what people tend to do is to look at their own experience or what they're going through in life, and they don't see that. And then it raises a lot of questions. And most often what happens with a lot of people is that they begin to question God. And as I said, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody about something, and they made this, you know, this comment that with God, all things are possible. And boy, I wouldn't argue that at all. I would not argue that with God all things are possible, but it's not enough just to believe with God all things are possible, because we have to, there's a side of that equation that falls to us. There's a responsibility that we have in with God all things are possible. And so, of course, we want to believe that with God all things are possible, but we looked at the woman with the issue of blood, and she had heard about Jesus, and what she heard about him was enough to get her to go out and do some really risky things. We all know the story. She had had a condition, a bleeding condition, for a number of years. In fact, it was 12 years. So her physical condition had to have been very compromised. She had to have been very weak, exhausted. Plus, there was just certain religious reasons. She shouldn't have been out in public because they were considered unclean. just imagine what was going through her head, and she's pressing through that mob. Not only is she physically pressing through, but she's having to press through a whole lot of fiery darts too, as she's trying to get to Jesus, because she had heard that anybody who touched him, even just touched the hem of his garment, would be made whole. And so she didn't just sit at home and say, with God all things are possible, and just wait for the power of God to fall on her. She knew what she heard. She had to act on what she had heard. Faith came as soon as she heard it. And which really brings up another point. Think of how long she was in that state. You know, you get pretty hopeless after that many years of something, whether it's a financial problem in your life or a relationship problem, where you're tempted to think this is never going to change. It's never going to be better. This is as good as it gets. You know, people say that all the time. Oh, this is as good as it gets. And sometimes I want to look at them and say, yeah, right. And usually that's about a beer or something like that. It's like, I'm sorry, that is not as good as it gets. But you think how tempting it would be to be in a place like that where you had suffered for so many years. You were basically stripped financially, and you were actually in worse physical condition. But you can apply that across the board to just life situations. How the longer it seems that we go in a certain condition, the harder it is sometimes to get yourself back on your feet, to get back up and to actually take hold of the promises of God. And she could have done that. She could have just said, well, nothing's happened. Nothing's going to happen. It's never going to change. This is not ever going to get any better. I can't go out there and do what those people are doing. I'm forbidden to be out there doing it. But she did. She acted on what she heard. So she acted. She had faith. She acted on her faith. And then when it came time to receive, she received what she needed. But she just didn't sit at home and go, God can do anything. And a lot of times Christians are like that. They know what God can do, but they don't really know what much he has done for them. And they don't recognize the fact that they have a huge part to play in the receiving side of it. That, yes, God is done. He's already done all things. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But that should inspire some kind of response from us. And so I want to talk about that some tonight. One of the things that a quote that I had seen at the time I was preparing for this message was a quote I found on Tony Cook's site, and it's really a good quote. He says, the greatest gap in life is the one between knowing and doing. And it's huge. That's a huge statement. It really is, because we know a lot. You know, if you've been in a church that preaches the scripture, that preaches the Bible, you've got a head full of knowing. We know a lot. But the real test is how much are we doing of what we know? And that, you know, again, this isn't meant to make us feel bad, but we need to look at ourselves and say, am I acting on what I know? Am I a consistent doer of the word? Not just am I trying it? I think in the area of giving, this is probably the biggest one, where people are tempted, they try it. I'm going to try that. And so they're real sporadic in their giving. They give and then they don't give. And then they give and then they don't give. Well, nothing happened. Nothing changed. Nothing. But it's a lifestyle. It's a consistency. It's a commitment issue. And I think the thing about giving is it's a trust issue. Because you will never give away what you need if you don't trust God. Because that was his idea. And this is my thoughts on that, is when we don't honor God with what he's told us to do, all we've got left is what we can do for ourselves, which is pretty piddly.
Yeah.
It's pretty meager. You're limited to what you've got. You're just limited to the little bit you can scrape together every week or every month or whatever.
That's
all you've got. But when you do it God's way, you tap into this enormous system of economy that is so far beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. And that's why it's a trust thing. Does God mean what he says? Will he do what he says? Well, we have our part to play in that. So the greatest gap in life is the one between knowing and doing. And doing is a huge part, because just saying I believe what the word says isn't enough. Because James chapter 2, verse 17 says that faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power. So to say we believe God's word, but then not act on it, not respond to it in faith, that faith, it says, is destitute of power. There's no power there. And that's what we need. We want the power of God flowing in our lives. We want a flow of the power of God in our lives. So that little woman, she took a risk. She got out there. She did what she believed, what faith prompted her to do. You know, and I'm always careful to say that you have to know what is your faith prompting you to do. Now, you don't need, I don't know how to say this, you don't need a whole lot of faith to just obey God. You know, there's some things that are pretty clear in the word that these are just obey.
Yes.
You know, when we were kids, how many times did we tell our kids to do something and they want to know why? What did we say? Because I said so.
That's right.
Right? There's a whole lot of because I said so's in the scriptures. You know, now we don't do it under compulsion. We don't do it out of fear. Like God isn't some mean dad that's going to take us out behind in the woodshed and whoop us if we don't do, you know, what we're supposed to do. But there's just a whole lot in the scriptures that are just because I said so things. Because God knows best. He knows what's going to make us function at an optimum level in life. Now, we don't see that. We don't understand that. But God knows, because he's our creator. Amen. So anyway, so she acted on what she believed, and then she received. And she received immediately. She received what she had need of. And Jesus knew. Jesus bore witness to what happened, because he felt power go out of him. So she closed this gap. She closed this gap and received the power of God. And so, you know, if there's an area in your life that you're being challenged, then you need to ask, what deeds and actions of obedience are required by what I say I believe? If I say I believe by his stripes I'm healed, then what deeds or actions of obedience are required of me? You know, when it comes to healing, sometimes it's pushing past it, just pushing through it, not letting it stop you, not letting it make the decisions. You know, when a person's been sick with something for a long period of time, pretty soon that disease begins to identify them. The disease starts making the calls. The disease determines what they do and what they can't do, where they'll go and where they can't go. They say, well, I believe in healing. I'm standing for my healing. Yet the disease is calling the shots. You know, we have to ask ourselves what steps or what actions are required by what I say I believe. If I say I believe I'm healed, then am I acting like I believe I'm healed? Am I acting that way? Or am I surrendering to sickness and letting it dictate what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go? I'm going to take a sick day today. I'm feeling kind of poorly. Well, who's making the shots? Who's calling the shots there? So those are just some things we need to be thinking about. These are challenging things. These are very challenging. So that woman's faith is what drew the power of God out of Jesus. Jesus wasn't even aware of what was going on in that situation until it happened. He wasn't the one who initiated the flow of power. She was. She initiated the flow of power. So that power was available to her, but her faith-based actions are what tapped into the power of God. So I want to talk some about the faith-based actions, because that's really an important thing. I mean, yes, there are some very clear things in the scriptures of what we should do that are just the I, because I said so issues. But then there are things that we need to go to God and we need to hear from God what specific steps need to be taken in that situation. You know, you all know the thing I went through last year with a health challenge. Pastor and I, we went before the Lord and we prayed and we wanted to hear what I was supposed to do. Because, you know, the medical, thank God for medicine. Thank God for the medical practice, because they save a lot of lives. And they're there for people who don't know how to believe God. Amen. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with mixing natural medicine with your faith, if that's what you think you're supposed to do. But we went and we sought God on what steps to take. And God was very clear. And you know how he was clear? He didn't tell us. We didn't see writing on a wall. We didn't hear an audible voice. You know what we had? We had peace. And it tells us in Proverbs that wisdom's ways are peaceful and pleasant. And you can always tell when you're following God by if you have a sense of peace in your heart. You know, I always crack me up when people say, well, the Lord told me to do such and such, and they're the most restless people in the face of the earth. You know, in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores. Doesn't that sound like a peaceful existence?
Yes.
That's what being led by God will be like. And so when it comes to making a decision like about your health, something that you're facing that might be a crisis, you need to find a place of peace. If you have peace to go and do all the things those doctors are telling you to do, go for it. Because that's where your faith is, and God will work with you there. You have to get that located. But each person needs to hear from God for themselves. And that's what faith-based actions is that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the obvious things that the scripture tells us, walk in love. You don't need to go pray about that. You don't. There's some things we just don't need to. We don't need to pray about honoring your mother and father. Amen.
Amen.
We don't need to pray about some of these things. These things are obvious. They're no-brainers. You know, they're just things that you don't even have to think twice about. But there are some things that we need to get specific direction from God on. And so, what is in your heart will determine your actions. So that's why we have to determine ourselves. We have to go and do like a self-examination to see what is really in my heart. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 that it's out of the heart that the issues of life flow. And so, you know, our heart's an important part, a very important part of us. And we need to be able to take a look inside. Now, this is challenging for some people. Because if they see some things in their heart that they don't like, they allow that to become an identity issue. It isn't an identity issue. Things in your heart can be changed.
Amen.
They can be changed to match who you really are in Christ. But just because you might see something in, have you ever done that? Like being on your daily devotions, you read something and you go, ooh. Has anybody else ever experienced that? It's like, ooh, ouch. You saw something that was there that, ooh, it just, you know, that's not right. You know, the danger is it's real easy then to think, well, I'm a bad person because of that, or I'm a slime ball, or I'm a loser, you know. None of which is true. You know what it is? It's just it's the flesh. It's really just the flesh. And so those things can be changed. But the Bible tells us to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of our hearts flow the issues of life. So if we're not experiencing this wonderful flow of the power of God, and we're not experiencing these promises of God that we see in the scriptures, there's a few reasons for that. Again, these messages aren't ever meant to make anybody feel bad. But I think my hope is always just to help people. Help people, let's identify where I might be out of step with God's word and get my steps organized, right? Get them readjusted. So the first reason might just be because it's a lack of knowledge. And again, I'm going to be so bold as to say, if you've been in a word church for any period of time, it shouldn't be because of a lack of knowledge. You know what the word says. And that's relatively easy and simple to correct, right? Get into the word, you find out what the word says. So if it's a lack of knowledge, that's just as simple as being addressed by hearing God's word. And then it might be due to some kind of heart issues. That's much more challenging because, like I said, you'll attach your identity to that. We tend to associate things that we see about ourselves with our identity and identify with them. Well, don't do that because that's not who you are. It may be what you're doing, but it's not who you are. Amen? Parents, again, parents will say to our kids, I don't like what you're doing, but I love you. See, that's really what we're talking about here. So it could be a heart issue. It might just be as simple as an area that we're resistant to the word of God. There's just some resistance. We'll hear something in the word or we'll read something in the word, and there's a resistance there. There's kind of a little tug of war going on. It's like, I don't like that, or I don't want to do that, or you know, maybe in relationship issues it's like, but you don't know how they're treating me, or how what they said to me, or they avoided me, or they ignored me, or they're not reciprocating in this relationship. There's all kinds of things like that can go through our minds, and so there might be a resistance on our part to walk in love. And to not be offended, and to not forgive, and so there's something oftentimes in our experience that causes that resistance. We'll have experienced something, or we've heard about something, that actually interrupts the ability of the power of God to flow in our lives because we're resisting God's word based on our experience. We're living, there's some circumstance theology in our lives. Some examples that I wrote down: the knowledge of a predisposition to a certain medical conditions, like genetic things. I had this in my notes last time and I didn't get to it, but sometimes those tendencies or those predispositions, say you have something in your family, you know, don't you just, I don't know if you're like me, but you go into the doctor and they make you fill out your medical thing and they ask you all these different things that are in your family and what different family members. And I know what they're doing. They're building data. You know, they're gathering data because they're studying. But so they're trying those things, that knowledge that you have this predisposition towards a disease, oftentimes has more of an effect on us than God's word does. We're actually more surrendered to and sensitive to that predisposition. Now, I read something very interesting. This is a scientific thing, that even though, I read this back a couple years ago and I thought it was very interesting, they found now that even though there may be genetic coding in you where you are predisposed to certain diseases, there are what they call, there's a study that's called epigenetics. And epigenetics are things that you have control over, and they're actually like switches that you flip on. You flip them on, and stress might be a switch that gets flipped that may make you more prone to actually contract that particular type of disease, or, you know, it could just be your thought life. Well, this is in my family. You know, so-and-so died from this, and then so-and-so died from this, and so I have to die from this. I have to get this disease, and I have to die from this. So there's a knowledge sometimes, a knowledge of predispositions to certain types of diseases or conditions. They have more influence over us than the Word of God does. That's scary. That's really scary, because nothing should have greater influence over us.
Amen.
You know, doesn't the Bible say that he has He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His. We've been adopted into a new family.
Yes.
So really, we need to meditate more on the fact that we have new genetics. We have the genetics of our Savior. And sometimes even the name of a disease or an illness has greater influence over us than the word. You know, people hear the word, they'll call it the big C.
Yeah.
But you know what I just recently heard is so awesome. I was listening to the last Healing is Here conference at Karis Bible College. The big C, you know what the big C is? Christ. That's who the big C is. So that trumps the little C. Amen. So we have a new big C. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of things that seem irreconcilable in our minds sometimes, in relationships and things like that, that all are really things that come out of our own heart. They're things that we have meditated, we've accepted them. I find myself being much quicker now when a thought comes to me about a situation and it doesn't line up with the word. I mean, it will kind of wobble there for a few seconds. And if I can identify that right away, first of all, how it makes me feel, something's not right with this. Something is not right with this thought. So I need to examine this. Is this pure, lovely, of a good report? Is there any virtue or praise to this? I'm not thinking on it. And even if it seems to be true, and if there's evidence to back it up, I have to choose not to side with that. I have to choose that. Absolutely have to choose it. Maybe in the area of finances, we've been offended by the failings of prominent Christian leaders. You know, over the years, we've heard all these horrible stories about Christian leaders who have dealt improperly with finances, and it's caused us to abandon the whole prosperity message. Why would we let a few people's failings cause us to abandon something that's such a huge part of God's word and His promises for us? Why? He has given us power to get wealth so He can establish His covenant. Not only can He establish His covenant in our lives personally, but also establish His covenant worldwide. It takes money. Again, we just got the most recent emailing from Patty Dunnick talking about some of the islands that they want to establish schools in. Each one of those trips costs them $50,000. You know, it's going to take the church being what she's supposed to be.
Amen.
And putting God first with their finances, serving God with their finances in order to do something like that.
Amen.
And people that can respond to those types of needs.
Amen.
Instead of just wishing they could respond.
That's right.
Oh, I just wish I could do that. And we need to move past wishing we can do it and just begin to become parts of it and do it. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto his fathers, as it is this day." So, I mean, this is what God has given us. I just don't know that we understand that. God has given us the power. When we pray and we need finances, it's not finances we need, it's the power to get the finances that we need. Amen. You know what? The real asset is not money. It's not holdings. It's not our retirement plans, because all of those could go bye-bye, couldn't they? If something happened to the economy, they could all. But you know what? God's power cannot be affected by the economy.
Amen.
The power to get wealth cannot be affected by this economy or fluctuating markets. If we got it once, we can get it again.
Yes.
Because He's given us power to get wealth. We need to meditate on that. Stop thinking it's all about the money. Think about the power to get the money. It's the power to get the wealth that God has given us. And that will never change. Ever. That will never change. So there's all these types of things. Fluctuating economies, health things, plagues, all kinds of things that can affect our hearts. That can cause us to not tap into the power of God. There's a certain degree of resistance that can take place there. And Jesus said that in the end times, men's hearts would fail them for fear, for looking after the things that are coming on the earth. What are you looking after? What are you looking after? Are you looking after what's going on in the world? We hardly watch the news anymore. We just don't want to look after what the world, what's going on in the world. We know, I mean, we're not stupid. We know things that are going on, but we don't feed on it. Pastor used to have to get his Fox News fix every, I don't know how often. We don't watch it anymore. We just don't watch it because men's hearts can fail them for looking after the things that are coming on the earth. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, that as you think in your heart, that's how your life is going to be. So if you're always thinking, I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm depressed, I'm in strife, I'm, what are some of the other I'ms? scared, come on. if that's what you're, as you're thinking that in your heart, that's what you're going to walk out, because it's out of your heart that the issues of life flow. So it's so important for us to guard our hearts. So, so important. And you cannot consistently operate differently than what is in your heart. Your lifestyle, your behavior, your actions are like a window into your heart. So if there's a consistent lifestyle that's going on, that's like a window into your heart, and it's very easy to identify what a person believes. You know, Pastor and I, to help people, sometimes we'll just sit and just listen and listen and listen. And if we listen long enough, really listen, we'll get to the root of what's going on. But it takes the listening. There's always a real reason, and it's usually some misbelief that's in that heart that's causing that consistent behavior issue. But if we want to change, we have to change our hearts. It's our hearts that have to change. And the only thing that can change a heart is God's word. We're not talking about your spirit, man. We're talking about your heart. We're talking about your will, your intellect, your emotions. The only thing that can change that and cause transformation in that is God's word. Anything less than changing the heart is going to just be behavior modification, and that does not last. Yeah. It won't last. So how do we do that? We attend to the word. We incline our ears to his sayings. We don't let them depart before our eyes. You know, these are really clear. Don't let the word... Can you open the doors? It's really hot in here. This recipe in Proverbs chapter 4 is a dynamic recipe for a good life. Because if we want our lives to be, if we want our bodies to be healed, if we want our minds to be clear, then we need to spend time keeping God's word before our eyes all the time. All the time. Keeping it there. Always keeping it. And not just quoting it, reading it. Actually, open your Bible and read your Bible. Amen. Keep it before your eyes. He's just opening the windows. So don't get too caught up with him. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Yes. You're in control of whether or not your heart is troubled. If you're constantly troubled about things or stirred up or agitated, you've allowed that to happen. Again, this sounds so hard. But these are things Jesus, our loving Savior, said. Don't let your heart be troubled. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast your cares, all of them, your worries, your anxieties, all of your concerns on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. You know, I think some people wondered about us going on vacation last week, and how could you do that when things are going on like they are in church and blah, blah, blah. Look, we weren't going to let the devil tell us what to do.
Amen.
You know, like we didn't leave town because we were so bummed out that we just couldn't take it anymore.
Come on.
Look, it was a carefree vacation.
Amen.
Literally.
Amen.
It was carefree. We didn't think about it at all. We just had fun. And I thought about it a lot while I was there. I thought, this is what it's supposed to be like. That you're so caught up with something that you love and that you enjoy and that brings life to you, that none of the pressures of life are able to get to you.
Amen.
We just take life so seriously.
That's
and we
right.
and we listen so thoroughly to these threats that the enemy tries to bring to us and tells us how it's going to be and what's going to happen and the outcome. And then it rarely ever turns out the way he says it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pictures he shows you, the scenes he plays before, it rarely turns out that way.
That's
rarely.
Right. Yeah.
So it's within our It's within our ability to control these things. It's within our ability, but we have to learn how to cast our care on the Lord. How can I do that? Because I know Him. Yes. Because I know if I hand it to Him, boy, He's a lot bigger than I am, and He can take care of it. God can take care of these things for us. We, of course, we do our part. We're not so silly as to think we don't have to do anything. There are steps we take. There's things that the Lord chose us to do. But really, when it all comes down to it, ultimately, it's God. It's God. It's just trusting God. Is He big enough or isn't He?
Yes.
And the thing is He cares. It says He cares for us affectionately and cares about us watchfully. You know, if you're caring about somebody watchfully, that means you're not taking your eyes off of them. So even when we were riding around with Goofy and Mickey and Pluto, God was watching us. It's like, enjoy yourself. Have a good time, right?
Amen.
So another thing, if we're not experiencing it, so it could be a knowledge problem, it could be what's going on in our heart, but there's another area, it just may be a lack of some kind of action on our part. And we talked about that quite a bit that first week. Yes, there are clear directives, but then there are things that we need to just get into God's Word, and we need to become disciples. We just need to be disciples. There's a lot of Christians, but there aren't a lot of disciples. I heard Andrew Womack say something here recently that I thought was profound. He said he had a question for years about how people could say they're a Christian, but then vote for platforms that violated everything that the Word talks about. That's because those people aren't disciples.
That's right. Yeah.
They may be saved, but they don't love the Word. Mm-hmm. It's just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So Joshua 1:8, I think, is a key scripture for when it comes down to the specific actionable things. He says in Joshua 1:8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." So what's he saying here? He says, don't ever stop talking God's Word. Don't ever stop meditating God's Word, because if you'll do this, if you will do this day and night, he says, you'll observe to do according to all that's written in it. There's times we just think, how can I do that? I'm so broke, I can't give. Or I hurt so bad, I can't even stand up. So you know what? This is telling us how we can find out how to do that, how we can walk out this word. He says, if you'll do this, if you'll meditate in the word, if you'll speak his word day and night, it says, you will observe to do according to all that's written. And that word observe isn't just perceiving it and seeing it, but it's actually observing it. It would be like observing a holiday where you go through the actions of it. You actually are doing it. So it's more than just a passive perceiving, observing, like I observe that. I observe this person walking down the sidewalk. It's more than just that. It includes that. The Amplified actually says that you may observe and do according to all that's written therein. And so it brings out the observing and the doing. And this is talking about not just reading your Bible. This is talking about meditating in your Bible. And meditation, biblical meditation, is seeing yourself doing it. Spending time meditating on Scripture until you can see yourself healed. If you can't see yourself healed, then you really don't believe it. You might mouth it. You might say it like a puppet or a parrot. But if you can't see yourself that way,
yeah.
If you can't, then you really don't believe it. That's what meditation will do. It will bring us to the place where we can actually see ourselves healed. So it's not just reading. Meditating will actually give us the so specific actions. Spending time in God's Word to that degree will actually give you those specific steps you need to take. If you need financial healing, some kind of help there, God can show you exactly. You know what he'll do? He'll begin to, if you take the scriptures that, and there's a lot of them that talk about financial wellness, if you'll take them and begin to meditate on them, day and night, God will begin to show us the steps that we need to take. He'll begin to show us what we need to do. Sometimes it's practical things. Sometimes stop spending money.
Yeah.
Just stop spending foolishly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, take a look. Yeah. Take a look at what you're spending money on. Do you need that? We love Disney. You know, we love Disney. This year when we went down there, we agreed we're not going to spend money. We're not going to spend a bunch. We had to spend money, of course, because you're eating and things like that. But we're not going to buy a bunch of junk. So, you know, we didn't buy a bunch of junk. You have to draw a line sometimes. You have to make some decisions. Sometimes God will just show you. You know, I don't know where it is in Proverbs, but there's this proverb that says, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. And that's so true of a lot of people. They don't even know what they've got. They don't even know where they're at. You know, we need to know where we're at. Amen?
Proverbs 32.
Yeah, what is that? Proverbs 32. Yeah. But what Joshua 1:8 here is really describing, it's describing the lifestyle of a disciple. Because in John chapter 8, Jesus said, if you continue, so that sounds like meditating day and night, doesn't it? He says, if you'll continue in my word, you'll be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if there's an area in our lives, if it's healing, or if it's financial, or if it's a relationship, or if it's peace of mind, if we're dealing with fear, that we're not experiencing God's freedom, that means we're not a disciple in that area.
Yeah.
We might be a disciple in another area, but we're not a disciple in there because we haven't continued to become free. But Joshua 1:8 tells us exactly how to do that. It says, meditate in my word day and night. Observe that you might observe to do it. So John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says, you will know, if you will continue like that, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So continuing, meditating day and night, all of those things are what actually enable us to become true doers of the Word of God. We'll see an action plan. We'll see all these actionable things that we can do to walk out the Word of God. But what I love, the promise in both of those passages is freedom. Joshua promises freedom, and John promises freedom, freedom physically. I mean, think if you've been dealing with something physically for years, the joy of being free of that physically.
Amen.
Or if you were given some kind of, like, death sentence, basically. Think of the joy that would bring. Or financial freedom. Think of the joy that comes with that. But Joshua tells us that if you'll do this, it says you will make your way prosperous. See, we want God to make our way prosperous.
Yeah.
We want God just to dump it on us. We want Him just to wave a magic wand over us and heal us of all our sicknesses and diseases and just do all these things. We want God to do it. We want God just dump it on me, Lord. Just dump it on me. Well, if there's things in us that need to change and they don't change, we'll just keep making the same mistakes again and again. But it tells us here that you will make your way prosperous and you will deal wisely and have good success. And I know we've shared this over the years before, but I'm going to close with this thought. That the word prosperous here, that if we will be meditators of the word. So if you need finances, say tonight, you're struggling in that area. Or if you're struggling with an area of healing, then you need to find get the scriptures pulled together. I mean, I've got several pages of healing scriptures that I go over almost every single day. I just meditate on them. It's maintenance. That's all it is. It's maintenance. In some cases, you have to do it for faith to come. In my case, it's maintenance. But the word prosperous here, where it says you will make your way prosperous, that word prosperous means to push forward. And it means to break out. Sometimes we just feel like we've come up against a wall with our physical health. We just can't get past this wall or a financial wall. Well, he's telling us how to conquer that wall here. Because another definition, this word generally expresses the idea of a successful venture as contrasted with failure. So it means to push forward. It means to break out, to go over, to be profitable. I mean, it just gets better and better. To cause, effect, make, and send prosperity. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. He says that's what spending time meditating day and night in the scriptures will ultimately do. It'll show us what action steps we need to take, and we'll have our breakthroughs. People are saying, I just need a breakthrough in my health. I just need a breakthrough. Joshua 1:8 tells us exactly how to have our breakthrough. Exactly. Now, this isn't just like, this might work, this could work.
Yeah, come on.
This is what God is saying to us, that if we will do what the Word says, if we will spend time, turn the television off for a few weeks.
Right.
Fast all your carnal feedings for a while. And just spend time in the Word. You will not be sorry for doing it. You will not be sorry. Just turn stuff off. Give it up for a while. Pretend it's Lent. And just give some things up and spend that time in the Word. And plus, you'll meet God, and He'll meet you, and you will not be sorry.
Yes.
It's so precious to hear God speak specific things to us.
Hallelujah.
Amen? I mean, in the scope of eternal things, who cares what survivor is going to win the... I mean, who cares? Or who wins the singing thing? Or who gives a rip? Anyway, it has no eternal significance whatsoever. No, it doesn't help you in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, right? Because you're being... the fiery darts are trying to come. So you will push forward. You will break out. You will go over, be profitable. And it says, and you will have good success. You know what I think good success is? It's success that lasts.
Yeah.
It's not just, well, we made it through the month, or we had a good week. No, good success is just prolonged prosperity, living that good life that He wants us to live. This is God's idea. This is not some man's idea. This is God's idea. Amen?
That's good. Amen.
So these are just some challenges. You know, we need to, in order to close the gap, to experience the power of God, there's some things that are going to be required of us. That's what true discipleship is. Jesus had a lot to say about discipleship. A lot to say about discipleship. And that should be every one of our desires. It isn't just to be saved and just to squeak through the gates at that final day to escape hellfire. Our goal, our desire should be, I want to be a disciple. And I challenge you to do a word study on discipleship. It's incredible the things it says about disciples. But disciples are not casual people. They're committed. They're dedicated. They'll do what the Word says to do. They'll take risks. Disciples are righteous dudes.
Yeah.
Amen.